Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you would like to ask a question during the question and answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the meeting over to Mr. Joel Feider.
Thanks a lot. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us this morning, or whatever your time zone may be. We have some news to share today about a new partnership between EMC's security division, RSA, and Microsoft in the area of information protection. So we will hear from executive spokespeople from both companies, Tom Korn, Vice President at RSA, and John Chirapuras here at Microsoft. If you have not seen the press release, it is available on www.microsoft.com/presspass and also at www.rsa.com. So from here, I'm going to hand it off first to Tom Korn at RSA to start the overview, and then we'll go into question and answer. Tom?
Thanks, Joel. So Microsoft and EMC have had a long-standing successful alliance, but today we're expanding on that partnership with what we believe is a very, very significant strategic alliance between Microsoft and RSA, the security division of EMC. And the goal of the initiative we embarked on is really to give companies a better way to protect sensitive information and share it in a secure manner. The result of this partnership, we believe, will fundamentally change the way organizations protect information, enabling a much more holistic approach to this problem, and by building solutions into the infrastructure rather than simply bolting them on to the infrastructure. So JG and I are going to walk you through both the details behind why we're doing this and how we believe it's going to change the way people secure their information. But to begin, let me outline briefly what we're doing. And there are two basic things going on here. First is that Microsoft is taking RSA's DLP classification engine, the core data classification technology inside our data loss prevention suite, and building it into the Microsoft platform as well as future information protection products. The second significant thing going on here is that RSA is integrating its DLP solution very tightly with Microsoft's rights management solution as well as its identity platform. Now, this space is very often sort of becomes acronym soup, and sometimes the same terms are used for different things. So let me clarify what I mean by DLP and RMS. DLP, I'm referring to data loss prevention. Specifically, I'm referring to products and solutions that enable organizations to define what data they consider sensitive and how they want to protect it, identify and classify that data throughout the infrastructure, be it at rest on storage or in use on laptops and desktops or in flight over the network, and then trigger appropriate controls based on policy. And RSA's product in this space is called the RSA DLP suite. By RMS, I'm really referring to rights management solutions. These are solutions that safeguard digital information, such as documents and spreadsheets, presentations, emails, from unauthorized use, both online and offline, inside and outside the firewall, by placing access controls on those that are tied to identity. And Microsoft's solution in this space is Microsoft's Active Directory Rights Management Services, or ADRMS. And we think that a combination of building DLP classification technology into the infrastructure and by integrating DLP and RMS, these are going to have far-reaching consequences on how we protect information. But let me begin a little bit on the background of why. Why are we doing this, and why we actually believe this is going to have such a significant impact on this? Well, first, protecting information has become a higher and higher priority for organizations of all sizes, and really two factors we're all aware of driving this. The first, of course, is just more breaches. Our data breaches have reached record levels. The amount of exposed data due to breaches is, since 2005, on the order of about 245 million records of U.S. residents. So it is really reached epic proportions. The second factor is more regulation. Companies are facing growing risk, as well, you know, so a lot more governance requirements. The burden of regulation has become increasingly significant, and of course, those regulations are principally concerned with the safeguard of sensitive information. So the question is, how do we address this without limiting the accessibility of the data itself? Because organizations need to share this sensitive information within their organization, even between organizational boundaries. The information is only valuable if it can be shared, if it can be accessed, if it can be collaborated on. So there's a tension between protecting it and also enabling it to be shared, security and accessibility. Now, there is a very significant demand for all kinds of products to address these problems. The information protection market is now about $1.5 billion, growing at over 30%. The data loss prevention market has already reached about $250 million, growing in excess of 80%. The challenge is that these current solutions really involve lots of point products, and they're fundamentally too complex and too costly, which in this economic environment simply won't stand. And fundamentally, they're not really addressing the core problem. So why? Why aren't they addressing the problem? Why are they so costly and complex? We believe it's really based on four factors. The first is that protecting information is fundamentally an end-to-end problem. One of the peculiar things about information is that it moves and it transforms. It might start in a database but end up on a storage and backup tapes, on laptops, applications, on public infrastructure. And as a result, it's an end-to-end problem. But the problem today is that the current solution is a whole bunch of point products at every single one of those points. Second problem is that the infrastructure lacks any visibility into the sensitivity of data. It knows how big it is. It knows maybe who made it. It just has no idea if this is something it should care about. So as a result, a lot of these security controls we're putting in place are applied without that context. The third is that many of our security solutions and controls lack identity awareness. So it's very difficult to apply these controls based on identity or to apply some persistent protection of that information tied to identity. And then lastly, the last problem is really related to how we manage all of this security stuff. Today, many organizations may have security policies, but too often these policies are sitting in binders on shelves. And the physical controls are managed configuration by configuration, setup by setup, often by different groups within the organization, sometimes security and sometimes the operations team, but it lacks a fundamental connection back to those policies. And furthermore, those policies are often very infrastructure-centric. In other words, what is our policy for laptops? What is our policy for databases? What is our policy for file shares? As opposed to, what is our policy for healthcare information? What is our policies for credit card information? And how should that be treated when it shows up in a laptop, on an email, in a file share, on a SharePoint site? The difference may seem subtle, but it's actually quite significant. And our ability to address these problems, our ability to really provide end-to-end solutions without lots of point tools, our ability to provide visibility to the infrastructure so that we can apply controls with the context of what it is that we're actually information we have before us, the ability to bring identity into this picture, and our ability to manage this centrally from policies that say, here's what's sensitive and here's how we want to protect it, we believe are fundamentally tied to what we're announcing here today. The ability of putting classification into the infrastructure and the ability to start bringing together DLP and rights management. So with that, I'll turn it over to JG to provide you a bit more depth on exactly what we're doing in this space.
Thanks, Tom. Hi there, folks. My name is John Chirapurath. I go by JG, and I'm working in the Identity and Security Business Group here at Microsoft. And that was a great intro, and I just wanted to say that from a Microsoft perspective, this is one of the more significant announcements that we've made in the identity and security space in recent memory. Just a little bit of background. We recently brought the identity and security divisions together because we saw that there was a need in this market to really, the customer needs in this market were converging around identity and security. And we see this announcement as a key proof point, as a key milestone along the way in actually bringing a solution to some of the challenges that customers face in the space across identity and security. The relationship that we are announcing is actually going to be executed across two phases. There is a story that customers, and there's a solution that customers can buy today, which we'll discuss momentarily. And there's also a story that they can transition to in the future. But at the heart of it are really a couple of key things that we are doing with the RSA DLP technology. First, the solution is going to be context-aware. Microsoft is licensing the RSA DLP classification technology, and we'll be building it into the Microsoft product. What does that mean? We will be making products such as Exchange, SharePoint, and similar products context-aware by building in this classification technology into that. The second aspect of that is that we're going to make this identity-aware. As Tom mentioned, one of the things we will be doing is integrating very tightly with Microsoft Rights Management Services and our identity platforms, including Active Directory. The benefit of this is that when you think about an enterprise and you think about the typical scenarios that they have to deal with when they deal with information, you see two predominantly important scenarios, but they exist on two ends of the spectrum. On one end, customers want to protect their IP. They want to protect information from leaking. On the other end, they would like to collaborate with it securely. But collaboration really requires knowledge of identity. And this is one of the reasons why the knowledge of information, content awareness, and identity awareness become absolutely critical for customers when they are looking for a comprehensive solution to the problem, which is what Microsoft and RSA are offering. The third aspect is what we call built-in versus bolt-on. When we say built-in, one of the things we are doing is we are actually creating an end-to-end solution with fewer point tools to buy, deploy, and manage. Customers simply, we are giving customers a way to utilize the infrastructure that they already own and not have them acquire new pieces of technology or software and deploy it and manage it to solve this specific problem. The other aspect of this is the notion of central management. One of the things we will also provide in the solution is the ability to manage the solution centrally with information-centric policies. And this becomes critical because you have now one place where you can define your information usage, information protection, information access policies, modify it, and then change it, if you will. And finally, as I said, we are executing this relationship across two phases. There is a near-term solution for customers, and that solution brings together the RSA DLP 6.5 integrated with Microsoft Rights Management Services. And as we as we start to execute on building the classification technology into our products, so on and so forth, the investments that customers make today carry forward into the future. So the solution grows with them, it evolves with them, and the money that they spend on the solution today carries forward into the future as well. So with that, I am going to turn it back to Tom. Tom?
Terrific. Thanks, JG. So let's give you maybe a concrete example of what would the day after all of this stuff is available look like. Imagine an organization that's trying to protect personal health information that might be inside its organization. This would allow them to centrally define a policy for personal health information. how should it be treated if it shows up on laptops or SharePoint sites or various kinds of databases, file shares, if it shows up in email? How do we want that handled? We would be able to then, of course, add the concept of identity to that. In other words, not just how should it be handled in email, but how might it be handled in email if it's a particular group versus another group. It'd be able to specify the kinds of controls that we'd want to apply to it, such as perhaps rights management controls. That all can be defined in one central place, and then that policy can be pushed across Microsoft and non-Microsoft infrastructure, and those elements would automatically identify and classify that kind of sensitive data, examine the kind of controls, and then trigger the appropriate control mechanism, such as RMS, to be able to protect that kind of information. And it would enable an advanced workflow in order to notify the right people and get the right actions to happen to remediate this incident. And as JG said, some of this will be able to will be possible in the next few weeks, that the upcoming release of RSA's DLP suite later this month integrates with the existing Microsoft RMS solutions, and so that will allow organizations to do just this using these existing products. In the second phase, all of what I just described will be able to leverage a tremendous amount of the actual infrastructure. And the beauty of it is that in creating this common sort of way of expressing classification and policy and being able to have that as a shared language across the solution, organizations can start today with the existing products that we're putting out here, and these solutions are now future ready. These policies and method and classifications will work on into the future with future products and solutions. So with that, I will pause, and we will, I guess, open it up for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we're ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our first question, how is this new approach different than what is available today?
Okay, Tom, you want to take that and then I'll answer?
Sure. Let me start, and then JG, perhaps you can elaborate on that. What we have today really is, first of all, is really a collection of point products. There are DLP products that are on the market. There are rights management solutions that are on the market. A whole range of products within that suite. There are encryption products, a whole range of kinds of controls. What's different about the first phase of what we're doing here by integrating DLP and rights management is we're taking these two fundamental approaches and enabling the application of this very powerful control of rights management to be automated and transparent to users. And that will have very far-reaching consequences to making this a very, very, very powerful mechanism. But more importantly, the longer-term vision here is going to enable organizations to leverage a lot of their existing infrastructure to solve this problem. And that means a lot less point products to buy, deploy, manage. And that is very, very significant, especially given that this problem of protecting information is fundamentally an end-to-end problem. And I also cannot understate the importance of bringing the combination of content awareness and identity awareness to solving this problem. You know, our integration with rights management is very significant here, as I just mentioned. Our integration with Active Directory in general, so that policies, DLP policies themselves, can now refer to how you want the data handled for one group versus another, or who you want to notify if it's one kind of incident or another, or being able to have the context of who's someone's manager so that I can report to the appropriate part of the hierarchy to be able to address the incident. All those elements are very, very different. It really brings a more holistic systems approach to this problem. JG, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I think that's a great answer, Tom. The only thing I would add is, you know, just to stress a key point I think that you made, which is absolutely crucial. You know, when you think about protecting information or governing access to information, you have to actually work with the applications that actually create and manage information. And this is why we believe the approach that we are offering of built-in solutions versus bolt-on solutions is the answer to this problem. You know, customers face tremendous amounts. Customers have told us, you know, they're facing tremendous amounts of exposure, both legal, financial, so on and so forth, with the problem of information leakage and the need to collaborate. And it's a natural tension. And I think for the first time in industry, it's a pretty significant, a development that we are actually offering a solution that brings together the need, that ability to protect, as well as the ability to securely collaborate. It removes that natural tension. And when we look out in industry, I don't think we see a single vendor yet that's providing a solution as comprehensive as this.
And how does identity benefit DLP and vice versa?
Maybe I'll take that, Tom. Okay. So, you know, the way I see it is when you think about the information lifecycle challenge, you take a manufacturing company. You know, their lifeblood are their product plans. And they have two needs with this product plan. They want to protect it because it's sensitive intellectual property. They also want to collaborate with it, with their partners, with their suppliers, and other entities. Now, unfortunately, in a typical scenario today, these problems sit on two ends of the spectrum. Collaboration requires that you know what information you're collaborating with, and you need to make sure you know who you're collaborating with. So the who is really the identity part of that equation. On the other side of the spectrum, to protect that information, you absolutely need to know what information you're dealing with. Content awareness becomes a key aspect of the challenge. So the way identity awareness benefits the problems that customers face today is that by adding that into the mix, we are able to balance the two ends of the spectrum, the two key demands that customers have across the information lifecycle, and ensure that the collaboration experience is secure, it's content aware, and customers really understand and benefit in that they're able to ensure that their information is kept private to them. Tom, would you like to add something?
I guess just to stress the notion here of being able to express policy and implement that policy centrally that factors in the who, the what, and the where, the identity, the information, and the infrastructure is really the path forward. We think will have very, very significant implications. The classification built in gives the what, the identity built in gives the who, and the notion of being able to factor in things like is it on laptops, is it on emails, is it in databases, gives the where, and that's really what we're enabling here. And as JG has pointed out, the integrations that we've done, both with RMS and the identity platform, are going to enable a great deal of this really this month. As of this month, not only are we able to trigger and apply rights management policies transparently to the users, dynamically, based on content, we're also tying in very tightly with Active Directory to be able to express identity in the policy, our policies themselves in terms of Active Directory groups, for example. This is what should be treated for finance versus engineering versus accounts receivable, and enable us to leverage Active Directory in how we notify and escalate incidents, being able to do things like, well, we found this sensitive healthcare information on the laptop of someone in this organization. One of the policies is to notify their manager. How do we find that out? Through Active Directory, as an example. So, we're going to have significant impacts on this really right away.
And what will the transition from the integrated products available now to the future solutions be like for customers?
Well, I'll start that, JG. And so the way we have designed this, the fundamental core engine and the fundamental sort of policy formats and classification formats that we're building in are really the ones that exist, are building on top of the ones that exist today. And what that means is that organizations can get started right now with RSA's DLP suite and Microsoft RMS, and the work that they do will all of, and those solutions are essentially future ready. The policies work in the future, even as you add on existing additional infrastructure. The classifications continue to work, and this was very, very intentionally designed in this manner. Furthermore, the products that you purchase today continue to be valued all into the future. As some of the technology begins to appear across the Microsoft platform, a lot of our effort and work will go into continuing to build a sort of deeper management consoles and complementary platforms and functionality to what Microsoft is building in. So we'll be able to provide a lot more breadth than we ever would have been possible if we weren't working so closely with Microsoft.
Ellen Messmer of Network World, you may ask your question.
Yes, thanks. I wanted to know if RSA could tell us a little bit more about how the management component of DLP will evolve in this. I mean, will management really shift over to something in Microsoft, or will you still have your own management consoles in the future? And also, if you could address if there's any kind of relationship there is with, since there was a similar announcement of sorts with Cisco earlier this year, what you can say about that?
Sure, Ellen. So to the first question, in terms of the management consoles, we believe that the market will evolve at the very least into a couple of kind of groups, folks who are looking for some core standard set of capabilities on the DLP front that really are part of a broader set of information protection solutions and want to manage that accordingly. As a result, there will be some sort of out-of-the-box capabilities with Microsoft solutions in the future, and some of that will be able to manage centrally there. What we will provide is a solution that has much more depth in the DLP area. As a result, if you're familiar with our DLP suite, our management console, which is called the DLP Enterprise Manager, that will continue on forward, and what will happen is that will be able to not only talk to our own products, our own endpoint agents, our own network components, but be able to talk directly with the Microsoft components as well. So as a result, organizations that will be able to address DLP solutions with a Microsoft solution, but people who need a more advanced capability, a greater customization of policies, greater customization of workflow, etc., will be able to use our Enterprise Manager to essentially manage the whole DLP solution directly from that management console. Your second question, Ellen, which was in regards to how does this relate to Cisco. As folks may well be aware, earlier in the year we announced some work we're going on with Cisco to collaborate also in the DLP space. I mean, really, what we're trying to do here is bring together major infrastructure players to turn DLP from really a point product to a process.
Well, in that regard, can I also toss in the question about, you know, the agent? Like, since we have agents, you know, especially endpoint, is there any possibility of Microsoft integrating your DLP agent in the future?
So, JG, do you want to address that question?
The one thing I'll say is right now the primary focus of our alliance is that is licensing the RSA DLP classification technology and integrating that into our platforms. We really believe that when you think about the agent's question, it's really an enforcement problem. And we've got products such as Forefront Client Security, which you could consider to be something that sits on the endpoint, which can actually do some of this enforcement if you make it DLP aware. Similarly, you have the Microsoft Rights Management Services technology, which is also a client-based technology that sits on the desktop, which could also be made, which we are making DLP aware. So there are multiple opportunities to do it, but Tom had mentioned, and as we also see, the first and perhaps more significant step in actually solving this for our customers, based on what our customers have told us, is really figuring out and ensuring that the infrastructure that they own is content aware. And the way we are doing that is by building in the RSA, licensing the RSA DLP technology, and building it into Microsoft products such as Exchange, SharePoint, etc.
Now, so on the endpoint, then will you actually incorporate some kind of full capability of the RSA DLP into some specific Microsoft desktop product or mobile product?
What we're licensing to Microsoft, if you think of whether it's the agent or whether it's the scanners or whether it's other elements of our product, you can think of it as sort of two pieces. One is the classification engine, the ability to, whether it's for at rest or in flight or in use, to be able to identify the information and then trigger an enforcement control. And then the second one is an actual enforcement mechanisms themselves, right? Our endpoint agent can stop you from printing or from writing to a USB stick, etc. What Microsoft is building in is really the classification engine, so that the solutions can be identity aware. Then what that allows them and us to do is to be able to push policies directly to those elements, even without agents on those elements. And those that classification engine can identify sensitive information and then trigger enforcement capabilities. Those enforcement capabilities could very well be things like Microsoft RMS, for example. So this really isn't a wholesale. Microsoft isn't building our entire DLP solution.
Okay.
What it is building is the classification component. Although, frankly, that's really the killer app here. It's now making all of these points, whether it's a SharePoint server, Exchange, or whatever. All of these points no longer need extra stuff on them to be able to push DLP policies and make sure the right things are happening. Does that make sense?
Well, that helps. And from Microsoft's point of view, what happens on the desktop side? I mean, does classification engine, what specific Microsoft desktop or endpoint products will this go into?
Actually, John Chiraparut here. We are actually not disclosing that at this moment. But I think what Tom had mentioned, when you think about rights management, it's a client-based technology, and you can be sure that becomes DLP aware as part of this arrangement.
Okay,
and can be used for enforcement.
One last question, and this is meant respectfully, it's the same way I asked Cisco, is that this is really important technology, and the question I asked Cisco at the time, which is, if this is so important, why is Microsoft not acquiring the technology rather than licensing it?
Okay. I think the way we kind of see this market is that when you think about the information-centric, the challenges around information, the information leakage prevention challenges, we very strongly believe it's an ecosystem problem. And it is Microsoft and RSA that are teaming up together to lead the way here. Far too often, especially in the security space and definitely even in the identity space, we start to fork solutions when companies start to acquire technologies back and forth, and then it's one way or the or the highway. And what we are really seeking to do is to really make this an ecosystem solution, team up with RSA, which via EMC also has significant parts of the data center infrastructure. So we really see this as a very synergistic alliance. It's a very synergistic marriage. And the alliance itself is fairly broad and deep because there are, you know, commitments that we are making around things like go-to-market, around how customers can deploy it. And I think you know, in general, it is a better way to proceed in problems such as these that customers face.
Yeah, to build on what JG just said, play out your question, Ellen, if we took us the different scenario. We acquire a DLP company and integrate it into our infrastructure as EMC. Microsoft acquires and built it into their infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The problem we have there is we're all speaking different languages. We have different ways of handling policy, different ways of classifying information, right? That revolves, having this work really seamlessly end to end involves us really at a deep level sharing a common language and a common way of processing that language. And that's what we're achieving here. I think, frankly, what's significant is there's certainly a consolidation in this industry of major infrastructure players buying security technology and security companies. I think we all would agree that there's a movement to build this into infrastructure. I think what's so significant here is with EMC and Microsoft, here are two major infrastructure players who are actually going to be sharing a common sort of service across that, really creating a platform that can seamlessly handle this end-to-end. And I really fully agree with JG's point. This is an ecosystem problem. It's very difficult to solve this. None of us have footprints in every part of every piece of infrastructure.
Okay, thanks.
Gavin Clark of the Register, you may ask your question.
Hi there, this is a question for JG. Just wanted a little bit of clarification. Just the licensing of the RSA technology, you're talking about SharePoint and Exchange. Which versions of Exchange and SharePoint are we going to see that show up in, first of all? And then secondly, are we going to see this brought over to Windows 7 and the next version of Office as well?
Actually, we from an Exchange and a SharePoint perspective, it's reasonable to say that will be in the future version. As for Windows 7 and Office, we haven't made any decisions yet.
Okay.
But just as a point, I would say that rights management as a technology does ship in Windows, as you probably are aware.
Right, okay. Yeah, it does. What about the browser? There was some work there to make it work well with previous rights management to work with Internet Explorer as well. Will this apply to IE too?
And again, we've not made any decisions in that regard.
Okay.
John Fontana of Network World, you may ask your question.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I want to try to understand, JG, how you keep saying the identity products, and that's a pretty wide swath for Microsoft now, and understand where this fits in with those. I mean, is this going to be integrated into the Geneva stuff and the claims-based model? Is it just going to be integrated with AD? Is it going to be integrated with some of the group policy stuff there? I mean, how does this span out across that identity platform?
Okay, so I think, you know, that's a great question, John. And the way I kind of look at this is, as you know today, rights management is actually identity aware because, you know, it requires an AD authenticated identity to actually, you know, do the things that it does. In Windows Server 2008, one of the things that we did was we actually added support for ADFS, you know, the Federation services, which now enable you to basically share information across enterprise boundaries if they have a federated relationship. But now, with regard to Geneva, we have not made any decisions yet, but I think, as you know, Geneva is a critical cornerstone of our identity strategy. And we are evaluating a whole variety of things, including actually having rights management services support things like card space identity, because it may and likely will unlock a whole bunch of consumer scenarios. So a business-to-consumer scenario. So the scenario that I always talk about is, you know, let's take a bank. they want to send you a statement, but that statement is private to you alone. You can actually create a fairly significant secure mail experience if we can protect it to a, let's say, a card space token, that information to a card space token, which on your end is of private only to you, and only you can open it.
All right, and clearly Geneva's not going to ship for a year, so you were talking, I mean, would this show up in a first version of that, or is this going to be out even longer than that?
Actually, we would, see, in the first iteration, the focus is going to be ring-fenced around rights management, and one of the things we will be doing in subsequent months is also disclosing a roadmap around some of these technologies. So perhaps we can hold that thought until then, if you don't mind.
All right.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question? You mentioned some of the management stuff on the Microsoft side. Is there a management integration play with this on from the Microsoft side, whether it's configuration manager, operations manager, anything in the system center line?
No, actually, not yet from the system center standpoint. As you know, in the identity and security division here at Microsoft, we have two essential management initiatives. There's security management, and there's also identity management, okay? Now, we are looking at, you know, actually figuring out the right way to infuse the ability to set some of this policy, manage and govern some of these policies from the security management side of things, which is currently codenamed Sterling.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mark Wilson of Mark Wilson IT, may I ask your question?
Thank you. I think my question has been asked in parts by various people, but I was going to ask about where this is going to fit into the Microsoft portfolio. Would this be integrated into Forefront or System Center or the Windows Server System? And I think you've probably answered most of that, but if you could just elaborate on the point you just made around Sterling integration, that would be really good.
Yeah. I think, you know, the fact of the matter is, I think when you want to think about this, the alliance and the relationship that we are building, you really want to think of an information protection platform here, right? And there are elements of this that are going to be built into the Microsoft product. But at the same time, you know, there's going to be things like policy that need to be managed. And what we are really going to offer to the marketplace is that the policies can be managed via the EMC set of products, the RSA DLP 6.5 and later versions. And also, over time, through our own management offerings, and in particular, we are considering Sterling. Now, this is more directional thinking. It's not yet firmed. And we would be talking about some of our overall identity and security roadmap and direction. And I think, perhaps we can hold that thought until then. That would be good. That's possible.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
At this time, we have no further questions.
All right, everybody. Well, we do appreciate your time, and we hope that this was helpful. You can find the press release, if you haven't already seen it, on both the RSA and Microsoft site. There's contact information there if you do have follow-up questions. Thanks again, and good day.
Thank you.